Join us today for Saints and Sinners as we explore the history of saints and their walk from sinner to sainthood, especially those who walked the path of addiction. Let us not forget that every saint has a past and every sinner a future. Your hosts are Father Doug McKay and Ken Johnston.
And good afternoon and welcome to Saints and Sinners. Your host Ken Johnston and my good friend Father Douglas McKay. Hello, Father.
Hello, Ken, and hello to all of our listeners.
And we want to praise and thank God for all of our listeners, and thank you for all that you do for us here at In His Sign Catholic Radio, both your financial and prayerful contributions that have kept us on the air for over 40 years. And I know I say it every week, and I mean it from the bottom of my heart, we can't do this without you. And the fact that you take care of us week in and week out, month in and month out, is certainly appreciated. We don't ask often, but if anybody's interested in sponsoring one of our shows, Saints and Sinners, on 4 o'clock on Wednesdays, you can go to the Our House Ministries website. That's ourhouseministries.org. And if you go to the donate page, there's a link there to donate for the sponsorship of this hour. And that'll be great. We'd be sure to make mention of you. We keep you in prayer. Kathleen has a monthly mass for all of our benefactors, and you would certainly be included in that as well. So just one more thing to consider doing for us here at In His Sign. Father McKay and I are part of Our House Ministries, a ministry that works with the addicted and anyone else that comes to us. You can learn more about the ministry at ourhouseministries.org. Father and I are also available to come out and speak at your parish or other group. Just get in touch with us through the Our House Ministries website or through Maureen here at In His Sign. Our Matt Talbot Shrine, sponsored by Our House Ministries, the Calyx Society, and St. Gabriel's Church, is alive and well and open in St. Gabriel's Church at the corner of 29th and Dickinson in the Grays Ferry neighborhood of South Philadelphia. We're open on Tuesdays and Thursdays from 9 a.m., that's following the daily mass, until at least 5 o'clock. Some Tuesdays will stay open until about 5:30 or quarter to 6, leading up to the Calyx meeting. Or just stay open till 6 o'clock on the third Tuesday, which we'll discuss in a bit. So come on down and visit Matt Talbot, visit the Cathedral of South Philadelphia. And, Father, I was just telling Patrick right before we went on the air that I just got an email from the Archdiocese saying that the Miraculous Metal Shrine in Germantown, the Vatican has elevated it to a minor basilica. So I said to Patrick, it's just a matter of time before St. Gabriel's gets the same elevation. So
there you go.
Yeah, come on down and see St. Gabriel's before it's a basilica. And you can say I was there when.
Anyhow. Otter guy, we have Father Shea down here too on Tuesday.
Yeah, how about that? Yeah. Father Shea from the Miraculous Metal Shrine did our third Tuesday Mass for us last week. We talked about it quite a bit on last Wednesday's show. Speaking of which, if you ever miss a show, any of the shows here at In His Sign Catholic Radio, you can go to our website at inhissign.com and click on the content link and then podcasts. And most of the shows are recorded as long as we don't have a technical difficulty and uploaded on the website. I usually do it on Thursdays for the prior week. So you want to go back and listen to last Wednesday's show, by all means, go out to InHisSign.com, click on Content, and then Podcasts, and you should see the recording. All right, let's begin with prayer. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, amen. And the following is the prayer for Venerable Matt Talbot's canonization. Lord, in your servant, Matt Talbot, you have given us a wonderful example of triumph over addiction, of devotion to duty, and of lifelong reverence of the Holy Sacrament. May his life of prayer and penance give us courage to take up our crosses and follow in the footsteps of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Father, if it be your will that your beloved servant should be glorified by your church, make known by your heavenly favors the power he enjoys in your sight. We ask this through the same Jesus Christ, our Lord. Amen.
O Mary, conceived without sin.
Pray for us who have recourse to thee.
O Mary, conceived without sin.
Pray for us who have recourse to thee.
O Mary, conceived without sin.
Pray for us who have recourse to thee and for all those who do not have recourse to thee, especially the enemies of Holy Church and those recommended to you.
Our Lady of Calyx and St. Joseph.
Pray for us.
Venerable Matt Talbot, St. Maximilian Kolbe.
Pray for us.
St. Mark G. and St. Monica.
Pray for us.
St. Francis de Sales and St. Paul.
Pray for us.
Our patron saints and guardian angels.
Pray for us.
All the saints and angels.
Pray for us.
And just a Hail Mary, Ken, as I was speaking to you before the show, a buddy of mine, Eddie Owens, had passed away, and we grew up together. He taught me how to draw. We were fishermen together down at the Schuylkill Banks there, and just a great guy, and often he would call, and we would always have spiritual talks. But cause of death, Jesus came to take him home to that place in heaven with the whole gang that we grew up with there. So I'd just like to pray for Eddie, and also for Bernadette, who we offer Mass for this morning for her graduation ceremony. So for Eddie and Bernadette. Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among women, and blessed is the fruit of thy womb, Jesus.
Holy Mary, Mother of God, pray for us sinners, now and at the hour of our death. Amen.
And may the divine assistance remain always with us.
And may the souls of the faithful departed, through the mercy of Christ, rest in peace. Amen.
Amen. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
Amen.
Thank you, Father.
Thank you, Ken, and all of our listeners. Thank you for the prayers.
And just a reminder, you know, it comes to me that I've had Susan Tassone on a number of times, usually around November 1st, to talk about the holy souls, and especially those in purgatory. And she's mentioned it many times, and I just want to reiterate that, you know, if you're not sure whether or not your family's going to make sure that you have a funeral, please make sure that it's documented somewhere, whether it's in a will or something that you leave to your family. Especially if you might be the only one in your family that goes to Mass on Sunday, or for whatever reason, maybe you're the only, you know, the only Catholic, and just, you know, a situation that arose where you know, the devout Catholic woman passed away, her husband, who was not Catholic, she has no children, and is not going to have a funeral as a result. So please make sure that it's explicitly known that if you want a funeral, whatever arrangements you want to have made, make sure that it's documented somewhere. And if you don't think your family's going to follow through, give it to a friend, a neighbor, somebody, so that they know what your explicit intentions are. And that's why, you know, I'm so grateful to have friends like Father McKay. It's interesting. I don't know how this drunk ended up with this contact list, but if you go into my phone and you get down to the FRs, the fathers, I think I'm up to about four or five screens now of priests whose either email or phone number or both that I have, just because of the contacts that I've made over the years. And you know, to be able to have so many of them, and especially you, Father, able to take care of some of the things that need to be taken care of, and in such short order, is such a blessing in my life. I can't thank you and all your brother priests enough for the, you know, the work that you do in such a timely manner, and for the benefit of all of us peons. So thanks to you and all our good priests.
Yeah, also I wouldn't be able to do what I do, all the priestly ministry, without you. So, you know, how did this drunk ever get connected with you? Divinely orchestrated, you know, it was the will of God, on schedule, as planned. And even like Patrick Lissing and all those who are surrounded with our house ministries, we're like the God squad. He brought it all together.
Amen.
We work for him, and it's his mission. But the Lord is right in the midst of it all. And I'm happy to be a priest, and like you said, to meet so many wonderful people. You know, and to see the hunger and the thirst and the presence of God in all of it, Ken.
Amen.
And even in you, and
yep,
me, and all of us. So he's outrageously in love with us. He's madly in love with us. He's out of his mind, Ken. We were talking about the other day.
Yeah, he's
madly
mad.
In love with
yeah,
him.
Yeah. And as a result, his relatives thought he was mad. Just read in Mark's Gospel. So anyway, this is a one-hour call-in show. Anybody can call in and join the conversation. The numbers are 610-527-2906, 610-527-2906, or call us toll-free at 888-34-FAITH. That's 888-343-2484. We especially want your calls as we go to the bottom of the hour for our Is That Odd or Is That God segment. If God's touched you in a particular way recently and you want to witness to our listeners, by all means, give us a shout. We'll give out the numbers again before we go to the break at the bottom of the hour. This week, in the third week in Ordinary Time, we've got a few saints that we're celebrating. Yesterday, the 24th, we celebrated St. Francis de Sales. Today, the 25th, the conversion of St. Paul. Tomorrow, the 26th, will be Saints Timothy and Titus. And on Saturday, the 28th, St. Thomas Aquinas. So, as is the custom of the show, if we have a saint on the day of the show, that's we usually start with. And we'll start with this story of the conversion of St. Paul. And it's funny, I can't think of this feast day anymore without thinking about Michael McLaughlin, you know, celebrating his anniversary. So if you're listening, Michael, congratulations again on 36 years of God-instituted sobriety. So anyway.
We were talking at Mass. Michael was at Mass today. I said, we're celebrating the conversion of St. Paul and the conversion of Michael McLaughlin. And he was telling his story. And I said, what's the most important step? He said, the Bonnie step right down the street here. Well, he had his moment of truth 36 years ago.
Yeah.
But, yes, congratulations, Michael. 36 years. Right. God bless you.
Amen. So today we do. We celebrate the conversion of St. Paul. And, you know, it was almost in an instant for St. Paul. And everybody says he got knocked off his horse, but there's no mention of a horse in the story. But in that one instance, he's knocked out, blinded, and with one question or one sentence, Paul's whole life would change. And in that sentence, Jesus convicts him of persecuting him. And Paul said, well, who are you? And, of course, Jesus says, I'm Jesus whom you are persecuting. And Paul's life was forever changed. He was a dynamic guy, outgoing, deep in his own faith, so much so that he was persecuting Christians because he held on to his Jewish faith so tightly, so reverently. And, you know, Jesus saw fit in this instant while Paul was making his way to Damascus to track down some more Christians, and gave him that life-altering sentence. And I think for all of us, we can usually go back to it may not be a single minute or a single moment, but maybe a specific day and time that we know. When that took place in our lives, I know when it was for me. It was probably about 8:30 on Monday, December 30th, 1991, when I had a wake-up call. And similar to Paul, I wasn't knocked out, but I was in a blackout. I didn't remember the conversation the next day that I had with somebody in that hour, and apparently I had agreed to. Try and get some help the next night, and when I remembered it the next day, it was like, oh no, what happened, and what did I do? And it turned out to be probably the most definitive moment in my life. And so I think a lot of us have that St. Paul experience, especially those of us that may have been cradle Catholics and got away from the church for a while. And something happens in our life that drives us back to church, back to the faith, back to Jesus, and drives us back. Jesus is there the whole time. It's us that find ourselves making our way back to Him somehow or other. And you know, one of the greatest examples of that, of course, is with Paul. He goes from persecuting Christians to being their biggest and brightest supporter, spokesperson, you name it. Traveled to the, I guess at that time, what they thought were the ends of the earth in order to proclaim Jesus crucified and resurrected. And in the end would give up his own life for his belief in his Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. So we celebrate that moment, that day in Paul's life where Jesus brought him into the kingdom, brought him into the the Christian faith, the Catholic faith, and you know, what an example he became for all of us. And so we celebrate the conversion of St. Paul today on the 25th of January.
Yeah. As you were sharing your story, I was thinking of my story, Ken, where I had my last drink, and down the shore. I was always a closet drinker anyway. Down the shore, you know, I get my beer, champagne, Max Pizza, and that first night I would really, you know, drink way too much. And I was celebrating actually my anniversary, May 15th, and I don't know if my last drink was the 15th or the 16th. But I remember waking up in the morning, looking in the mirror, as I'd done so many times, in my bloodshot eyes, and saying again and over again, I can't do this anymore, no more. And I left, and I went to church. I went to down at St. Augustine's Church there in Ocean City, New Jersey. And it was amazing because the readings was about St. Paul. And it was about the thorn in the flesh. It was about... really where Paul takes the Nazarite vow. And the Nazarite vow is that you swear off the drink, you stop the grape, and you shave your head. And this was the reading of Paul. And I'm thinking about the thorn in the flesh, and it hits me. Was Paul's thorn in the flesh alcohol? Was he really struggling with alcohol and asking God to take this away? I don't really know, but I had that powerful experience that may very well have been the thorn in the flesh. Because Paul... he speaks a lot about alcohol in his letters. And that could have been it. But three times he asked the Lord to take it away, to take that thorn away. And the Lord said, my grace is sufficient. So it was at that time when I heard that beautiful voice of the Lord say, go to Dublin. And you went to Dublin with me, Ken, and we took the pledge there, Saint Venerable Matt Talbot. And that was a moment for me that I'll never forget, you know, that last drink and that grace, how powerful and how strong that grace was, and that his grace is sufficient. So St. Paul could have been that thorn in the flesh. We don't know. He never named it. A lot of people thought it was something sexual because he was embarrassed to name it. And so is alcohol embarrassing to name. But anyway, you made me think of my story too, Ken. So thank you for sharing yours.
Yeah, and that's why we like people to call in. I think that's the, you know, one of the secrets of the success of 12-step programs and Calyx and what have you is the, you know, when one person shares with another their experience. And I'm sure that many of those that are listening right now have had an experience where they may have been away from the church or they may have been lukewarm. They may have been in a spot they never thought that they would be in, and you know, all of a sudden, either in a dramatic moment or over a short period of time, they end up back, you know, back in church or praying again or whatever it is that gets them started. And you know, sometimes that's what we need in order to you know, get a kick in the pants and point it in the right direction. It's easy to sometimes get lukewarm or, you know, not as excited about the faith until something happens and we have to turn to God. And as we're talking about this, of course, we got Mike on the line. So let's bring him on. Hello, Mike.
Hello, Ken. How are you, buddy?
All right, brother. How are you?
Good, good, good. Hello, Father.
Hello, Michael.
And, yeah, I'm getting ready to speak up in Plymouth Meeting. A friend of mine asked me to speak, and we talk about the conversion, and we were talking about it today, Father, and how about it, like 36 years ago, today was my last drink, and... you know, like I said, I was sitting on Bonnie's step, and like you told me, you let me know that it was St. Paul's feast day, and how he was knocked off his horse, and how I was knocked off mine, and I was drunk, and I had 7 years parole on me, and I said to myself, Mike, you're going back to jail, and I I said to myself, I'm going to find out if drinking and drugging is my problem. And I made a meeting at St. Anthony's the night afterwards, and I've been sober ever since. And, you know, I get choked up every time I speak of it because I remember the transformation that happened after I admitted that I had a problem with drinking and drugging, and how my life changed over the years, and just the transformation and seeing myself like going through it and giving this disease the respect, and I found out that that's what it was, drinking and drugging, and I can do anything I want as long as I don't drink or drug, and I'm as normal as anybody else. This disease is so powerful, it tells you that you don't have a disease. And I found out that God brought me to AA, and AA brought me back to God and to my Catholic religion and to the sacraments, the confession, and the conversion. It was unbelievable when I compare myself to myself, and the transformation that happened in my life was unbelievable. My kids never seen me drink or have a drink or anything like that. And it was 36 years ago today. And I've been through so many things, marriages and so many good things in my life that have happened and bad things. But there was lessons behind that that just fortified my recovery, you know, just made me a stronger person. And I always compare myself to myself, and I'm always grateful. You can't say enough about it, you know, and when you realize God's in your life and you try to compare yourself to God, take your will to God's will, try to do God's will. And I always have something to work on, you know, and it's a journey, not a destination. And not on earth, but the destination is heaven, and no doubt in my mind. But I'm ready. I'm ready for it. You know, it's like you always say, more will be revealed. And it's so true. It's so true. And you're going to grow spiritually, mentally, and physically. There's no doubt in my mind. I couldn't tell you if it didn't happen to myself. I've done so many things physically and healthy, and you know, you just become a human being again. I was an animal. I had no soul. I was isolated. I was just not part of society. And so to sit here and talk about it is like unbelievable that I can talk about the transformation that happened in my life over the years. And coming to believe in the power greater than myself, which is Jesus Christ, and restored me to sanity. And there's a reason for everything in my life today, because I believe, it's just, amen. If you were me, you would know, like, you know, people would say, oh, how bad I got it. Like, well, if you put your hand on the table, you wind up taking it back, you know, because everybody goes through different things. But, like, when I have God, I know I have God in my life, it's like, you know, I had no problem going through them because God is all good and deserving of all my love. And that's my act of contrition. And how true it is, like, I know I can't go wrong. You know, when I respect this disease so much. When something bad's going by, I know there's a higher power and a lower power. And I know the lower power is trying to tell me something bad. But it doesn't affect me. It doesn't affect me unless my human will get involved. And there's a price to pay.
That's right.
There's a price to pay that, yeah. I'm going to pay. Like, when I know there's something wrong and I let it go on, you know, there's a price that I'm paying as,
amen,
a human being. But well, it's only something that's going to make me stronger in the end.
Very good.
No, I'm just glad you reminded me about the conversion, because the conversion brings on confession, and confession brings on the grace that God has given us, and the rewards and gifts of going through things. And what a life!
Amen. All right, Michael, appreciate the call as always, brother. Congratulations again.
All right, thank you.
And Otter
thanks
God,
a lot, guys.
Otter God, I'm going to see your friend Bobby M tonight. He's speaking somewhere else. So,
great.
Yeah,
Sam.
Man.
We'll I'd love to hear her story. Love to hear her story again.
Yeah, yeah.
Oh, my God.
Yeah.
Yeah, we'll have to get them down Grace Ferry.
There you go.
All right, guys.
All right.
Have a good night.
You too.
All right, buddy.
God bless.
Right.
Thank
you,
Mike.
Thank you.
Bye.
You know, Ken, I was thinking sometimes the thorn in the flesh keeps us close to God. And I was thinking of Venerable Matt Talbot as Michael was sharing part of his story. That Venerable Matt Talbot, if he didn't have a drinking problem, would he be up for canonization? I don't think so. You know, but it's because of that weakness that he came to the Lord, and the Lord took that weakness and made something very powerful with it, because he knew the only way he could get sober and sanctified was through Jesus Christ, and he gave his life to the Lord. And I think about myself. You know, if I didn't have that problem with alcohol, would I be doing this kind of work as intensely as it's being done, and have that compassion for those who suffer with addictions? I don't think so, you know. But how the Lord, you know, how he works everything out for good. He permits certain things just to bring a greater good. And I was thinking even like Michael there telling his story, because of the problems, that he's a better man today, more compassionate, more spiritual than he could have ever been if he didn't have that problem. So the Lord takes our weaknesses, our shortcomings, our character defects, and he does something beautiful. He transforms it, and he brings us close to his heart and makes us like himself through our faults and failures, even our sins, Ken.
Yeah, and
what a transformation, as Michael said. He transforms us.
Amen. And, you know, people that, you know, Michael mentioned confession, he mentioned the thorn, and, you know, how many of us go back to confession week after week or month after month, and I hate confessing the same sins, and it's like, for whatever reason, God seems to want to leave that thorn there, and maybe it is to keep us coming back to the sacrament. You know,
it made me think with confession. Prior to my last drink, all my confessions were, I drank too much, Father. I drank too much. I drank, not that I was drunk, but I drank too much. Now, the repentance there. I don't drink anymore, you know. So there's the conversion. You know, we need to convert not only from that, but all of our sins.
Amen.
You know, and turn to God's grace, because he conquers all of our sinfulness, all of our shortcomings, our character defects, by his presence, by his love, by his mercy, by his enduring grace. But we need to receive the grace. And the floodgates, of course, are the sacraments, especially there in the confessional that prepares us to receive him with pure hearts in Holy Communion.
Amen. We got just about a minute and a half before the bottom of the hour. I want to give out the phone numbers again. If God's touched you in a particular way recently and you want to share it with our listeners, we call it our Is That Odd or Is That God segment, which we'll have as soon as we come back from the break. The phone numbers are 610-527-2906. 610-527-2906, or call toll free at 888-343-2484. And you know how important it is to witness to one another. You hear guys like Michael and you know, others that come to Calyx, and I've often wished that, you know, everybody had an addiction that they could put their finger on that would force them to go to a 12-step meeting or back to church or back to the sacraments. Because sometimes that's what it takes in order to motivate us to do something about these issues that we have. And a lot of times we think, oh, my issues aren't that bad, or I don't do anything seriously wrong. And, you know, when we talk about confession, it's like the easiest sins to overcome are sometimes the biggest. And it's those little ones that, they're not so bad. You know, I'm not as bad as I used to be. And I, you know, get convicted now of the little things. And, you know, always room for more improvement. So We're going to go ahead and take our break. And, again, give us a call with your odd or guide, 610-527-2906, 610-527-2906, or 888-343-2484. Don't go away. We'll be right back.
You're listening to In His Sign Catholic Radio on WTMR 800, Camden, Philadelphia. Listening to In His Sign Catholic Radio, empowered by the Holy Spirit, bringing the fire of God's love to the world. We often think of the scripture where the disciples were walking to Emmaus, where they said, "Were not our hearts burning within us as Jesus spoke to us on the road?" As we travel along the road together in our Archdiocese of Philadelphia and Camden Diocese, we thank God for our loyal circle of family and friends. Please consider sponsoring one of our new programs in the name of your parish priest, family member, or friend. It would be a beautiful way of helping us to proclaim the gospel of Jesus Christ, our risen Lord. Give us a call at 610-527-2906 or visit us on the web at inhissign.com.
Welcome back to Saints and Sinners. Your host, Ken Johnston, and my good friend, Father Douglas McKay. And we're still waiting on callers. In the meantime, quick update on the local Calyx meetings. We meet every Tuesday night in the Grace Ferry neighborhood of South Philadelphia in our Matt Talbot Chapel at the corner of 29th and Dickinson Streets. We begin at 6 p.m. with a short adoration period, followed by Mass, and then our Calyx meeting at 7 o'clock on the third Tuesday. We go over to St. Gabriel's Church instead of our own chapel, and we have a Matt Talbot Holy Hour followed by Mass. So we still get started at 6 o'clock, but we'll have a Holy Hour with intercessory prayer through Matt Talbot's intercession, along with benediction, and then Mass at 7 o'clock. And that Mass is celebrated for all those that are in recovery, those that are in need of recovery, and all their loved ones. So anybody's more than welcome to come celebrate with us. I don't know anybody these days that doesn't know somebody that has either succumbed to addiction, is in recovery, or is in need of recovery. So by all means, you know, come and join us. We had a nice crowd in January, and we'll be getting together again February 21st for that third Tuesday celebration. The Unit at Queen of the Universe in Levittown meets on the first and third Thursday of the month. Their next meeting will be next Thursday, February the 2nd, 7 o'clock. At the Parish Center there at the Unit, Queen of the Universe in Levittown. The Unit at Nativity of the Blessed Virgin Mary in Media meets on the second Saturday of the month. They attend the 5 o'clock Vigil Mass, and then Calyx meeting afterwards. Father McKay celebrates that Vigil Mass and attends the Unit there. So if you want to meet Father, it's a good spot to go. Their meeting next month will be on Saturday, February the 11th. The meeting, our Unit at my home parish is St. Luke the Evangelist in Glenside, meets on the third Saturday of the month. We join the parish for the 8:30 a.m. Mass and then have our Calyx meeting afterwards. Our next meeting will be Saturday, February the 21st. The Unit at St. Francis of Assisi in Springfield meets on the last Saturday of the month with a 4 o'clock Vigil Mass, followed by a Calyx meeting. And they'll be getting together this coming Saturday. The last Saturday of the month, the 28th. So you want to head to St. Francis of Assisi for that one. and in nearby Wilmington, Delaware. They have a Calix unit that meets every Wednesday. That's this evening at 6:15 p.m. for Mass at St. Matthew's, followed by a Calix meeting. And this is the last Wednesday of the month, so in the 5 o'clock hour, we'll be having our Divine Will Wednesday. I'll be joined by Peter DePalma, and we'll be talking about the gift of the Divine Will. And, Father, I'm sorry to say that apparently God's dead here in the Archdiocese of Philadelphia. We've not gotten a call, so I guess nobody's experienced them in the last few weeks. I know we certainly have.
Ken, could I make an announcement, too?
Sure.
Yeah, it was for the Respect Life Prayer Vigil and Mass.
Oh, yeah, this coming Saturday.
Yeah, Saturday, 8 o'clock is the prayer vigil at 777 Apple Tree Street. And then the 9:30 is the Memorial Mass. And I was honored to be asked by Patrick Stanton to celebrate his father's Memorial Mass, his ninth anniversary. So everyone's invited, and he just put a little invite into the letter to invite everyone.
Yep.
So that'll be great. I'm looking forward to that, and to be with the pro-life people and all that they do, and also to remember John Stanton, a great guy, great man for Respect Life, and a holy, holy man, Ken.
Amen. And speaking of the pro-life movement, especially here in southeastern Pennsylvania, I ask your continued prayers for our good friend Mark Houck. Mark's trial started yesterday. I saw a report last night that they had selected the jury and the trial was to get underway today. So I'd ask you to please keep Mark and his family, his lawyers, and all those involved in prayer this week. The judge had said yesterday that he expects it to be over, the trial to be completed by Friday. So please keep Mark and the entire Houck family, the McCarthy family, in your prayers this week. And with that, we're going to go to Butch. Hello, Butch. Butch. I hit the wrong button here. Hey, Butch.
Hello.
Hey, how are you, brother?
How are you? Who's this, Ken?
Ken. And Father's on
hey,
the line
Kenny.
As well. Hey, brother, how are you?
Hey, Father Doug.
Hello, Butchie. Gabriel, how you doing?
I'm doing all right. I'm driving with my stepdaughter, and it's been a good week, and it's all due to God. I had a good Sunday, like I told you, after 12, 13 years of not talking to my children, and my faith gets weak at times, like it's never going to happen, and then out of nowhere, I get invited to breakfast with them, which is, it's all God's work. It's all not giving up and stopping prayers and all that. And truly, I'm blessed. I'm blessed. It's been one long journey, but I never gave up on prayers and doing what I do in meetings and all and thinking about others and trying to land my hand out to others, it's from hanging with good men too. Pat, Bobby, all my boys, hanging with you guys a day or two a week and keeping my faith that God's going to handle it. And, sometimes you lose that faith, but you don't give up and throw the towel in,
Yeah. No, that's great, Butch. And what a witness that is to other people who have the same struggles. How many people do we know that, they wake up and realize they have a problem when their kids won't talk to them anymore or their spouse, puts them out. Then when, they try to start doing the right thing and in your case, 12 or 13 years, I mean, that's a long time. God bless you, because a lot of people, they may, last a couple of months, maybe a year, and then they throw in the towel because, I'm doing all the right things and they're still not talking to me. Why bother? And yet you've persisted all these years and fortunately got rewarded for it. And that doesn't mean it's going to happen for everybody, but, it can happen.
Yeah, I just didn't give up on prayer and writing letters and cards and, and at times, like I said, like you said, it don't happen to a lot, to some. And you're talking, it was a while, and I never stopped giving up. A old guy in AA said, it's God's power, but it's your effort.
Amen.
But no effort. And I heard my brother Pat say yesterday, let go and let God. And he said there was a clinker to let go and let God. But I forget what it was, but Pat just said it to me yesterday, and I was saying it to a couple guys.
Amen. So,
but I just figure I call in. I'm on the radio. I'm getting my daughter home.
Very good.
Yeah.
All right.
And you guys keep doing what you're doing.
Thanks, Cliff. I was thinking also your perseverance in your faith. It's the spirituality of waiting that you didn't give up. And the bridges that were burnt were mended, and more will be revealed, and there are better days coming now. But it's the grace. It's all grace. It's all faith. And you did let go, and you let God, and he's the great healer.
Yeah, amen to that.
Thanks for sharing. Yeah. And you know, my little Jess, I said hello there.
I will. All right. She's in the car. I had to lower the radio and all.
Very good.
But.
All right, brother. Appreciate the call. We'll talk soon.
I love you guys.
You too,
Butch. God bless.
All right.
Bye-bye now. And we got another caller on the line. We're going to go over to 3. Hello, Ryan.
Hey, I'm here.
Hey, how are you, brother?
I'm doing good.
What's going on?
I do have to agree with Butch there. Let God live. Let God take care of it. Give up to God and let go of your problem. I went through that in my life, and there was a period of time through like my 20s where I went through a lot and kind of backed off, and it wasn't until my late 20s that I got back into the faith and back into going to church, and then a fire got lit inside of me that just took off. So now I'm involved in my parish and got some great groups and got to even meet Father Doug a few times.
Yeah.
In fact, Saturday kind of left a mark on me. I don't know. I've been thinking about it a lot. When I gave Patrick some more of the crosses I made, and when you blessed them, it just something came over me when you did that. It was just such a beautiful moment. Yeah. And to think that I could make something that could help somebody. So that's where I'm going with this. I had a phone call a couple weeks ago. One of the crosses I made, I gave to a contractor that we deal with through work. And he's been real sick. And he ended up having a bad infection in his spine. So luckily, he, by the grace of God, made it. Survived surgery, and he's already back on his feet again. And he's healing up pretty quickly. So the doctors are even slightly amazed with how well he's coming around and how fast. And he called me crying on the phone, just thanking me up and down for my prayers and for the cross and, for the grace of God. And it's one of those moments where, you have somebody calling you. I just was making a little memento and never thought that it would affect somebody so strongly. So Saturday, when you blessed the crosses, it really kind of hit me a little bit.
Yeah.
But it's so important that we do find our way home. I went and struggled for a long time, and it wasn't until I came back to my faith in the church that life got better, even through the struggles. Knowing that God's there, he's carrying me through my hard times, and, I'm going to be okay. And, having that knowledge and knowing that God's there with me. And every week going to church and seeing my little girl growing up and folding her little hands and walking through the procession with us at 3. And, I must be doing something right. Seeing all the little miracles through my days and the people that I've met and people with faith that are just so beautiful that had I not returned to my faith, had I not returned to church, I probably would never even met these people.
Yeah.
And I really just hope more people listen to that conscience, listen to that call in the back of their mind, the tap on the shoulder, and go to church on Sunday.
There you
for
go.
Saturday night.
Amen. So this is the Ryan that makes the palm crosses.
That's me.
All right, I carry one with me a lot. It's always at least in the car, if not in my pocket. So it's great to hear from you, brother. Thanks for the call.
Oh, thanks for having me on, and great talking with you guys, and great listening.
Thanks, Ryan.
Talk to you soon.
I was just listening to your when you were talking about when I blessed the crosses there, and you felt something. It is the Lord. You know, those holy moments, how the Lord is so present there, you know, and that he's always present to us. And we were just, like you used the word, letting go and letting God. And you just, you know, with Butchie saying it and you saying it, made me think of that beautiful poem that I often quote. I memorized it from heart. You know, letting go and letting God. We mutter, we sputter, we fume and we spurt. We mumble and grumble. Our feelings get hurt. We don't understand things. Our vision grows dim. While all that we really need is a moment with him. He's always in the moment. And the moments are always holy when we're with him. So thank you, Ryan. God bless you.
God bless you.
All right. Be good, Ryan. Thanks for the call.
No, you're welcome. Have a good day.
You too. All right. And that gave us an opportunity to get another call. Hello, Tom.
Hey, Ken.
Hey, brother. How are you?
How are you? Good. It's pouring down here in Wilmington, I'll tell you that.
Well, keep it down there.
Yeah, we're here, too.
It's pouring. Listen, St. Paul today, and his thorn, we all have thorns, boy. I mean, we, you know, in the program, we had to identify it and come to grips with it and what we had to deal with. And it's a process, as we know, and everybody's been talking about it. But I'm always looking for ways because, you know, even if, you know, doing the sacraments and going to confession and so forth, that evil one, he's all day long. That thorn is being challenged in you know, in my mind, where you know, he'll try to trick me. And I just heard read something just the other day, and maybe Father, you told us this years ago. I my comprehension is very bad, but I just heard it yesterday, and it's so simple. I think it was Pius the Tenth that said it. You say three Hail Marys in the morning when you get up, and you ask Mary to keep this character defect, this thorn that I have personally, away from me during the day. And then when we retire, we go to sleep at night, say the same thing. Say those three Hail Marys and ask Mary to intercede for us to keep that character defect away from us in our thoughts and deeds. And it's, you know, just to call out the devil. I mean, you know, he's always trying to trick us. It's just, you know, people, you know, sometimes put us on a pedestal. You know, you got 10 years, you got 5 years, you're incorrect. I can't get 90 days, but we're all tempted. We're tempted all the time. But anyway, I always look for these trip wires, these little things that I hear about, and I just wanted to throw that out.
Appreciate it, Tom.
Thanks, Tom.
Thank you, sir. Say hello to everybody in Wilmington for us tonight, will you?
Yeah.
Okay.
All right, brother. God bless you.
God bless you, Tom.
So, in the meantime, Patrick had flashed up on the board there that what Butchie was referring to is, you know, we always say let go and let God. A lot of 12-step rooms will have a thing on the wall that says that, but to the end of that, they add, but get going. So let go, let God, but get going. And, you know, it's one thing to say it. It's another thing to do it. So,
yeah.
You know.
Well, Ken, we didn't plan on the radio show to go this way. I was all prepared to talk about the conversion of St. Paul and his journey. So should we go back? Any more callers?
No, that's it for now.
Yeah. You know, let's go back to the Paul, the conversion there.
Yeah.
How powerful it is. You know, like you said, he's knocked down. You know, he sees the light. That's where that expression comes from, I've seen the light. And Paul hears, you know, the voice of Jesus within him. The other ones around him, they see the light, but he hears it. You know, why are you persecuting me? And, you know, who are you? And Jesus the Nazarene. But how Jesus lives us in all of us. You know, Paul's not baptized at that point. Mother Teresa of Calcutta, when she picked up the bodies there, she saw Jesus Christ there in every one, and they weren't even Christian, and yet she saw Christ suffering in them. The Dismas, on the cross, he wasn't baptized. So there's this baptism of desire that we often forget about. Those who seek the truth and are hungry for the truth and are longing for the truth are longing for God, and that's a baptism of desire. But, you know, the way we treat one another, he lives in us. It's the way we treat Jesus Christ himself. But one of the things, too, I was thinking, Ken, that, okay, he gets his conversion, then he's baptized, but you think, okay, he got it all made now. No, not true. The journey is going to be even rougher now. It's going to be tougher. He's going to talk about the thorn in the flesh. And we're going to see his foibles and his shortcomings, and especially when he wanted to castrate the Judaizers, who wanted everybody to be circumcised. He said, why don't they just take a knife and go all the way and castrate themselves? I mean, that's not very Christian. So, you see, it's an ongoing process. It really is. And you look at the apostles. They didn't have it all together when they followed Jesus. They had them all wrong. They're waiting for the Messiah with the sword to kill all the Romans, and they're jealous of one another, and they've still got a long way to go. But, boy, they're on the road, and they do make it. And they become mystics themselves, just like Paul later on, when that thorn in the flesh made them holy, kept them humble, and kept reaching for Jesus. And that was the transformation later on in life. And how he can come up with those beautiful sayings like Ephesians, the indescribable riches of Christ, the inscrutable riches of Christ, the other fullness of God. These mystics, they stretch the human language. They, bankrupt the dictionary in trying to give to us what they're experiencing, this closeness, this intimacy with the Lord. So, it's a process, and it's a lifetime journey. We saints are not born saints. It's sacrament after sacrament, grace after grace, struggles after struggles, trials after trials, that we begin to be transformed more and more into Jesus Christ. But metanoia, it's conversion, ongoing process on all levels of living. It's the way we eat, the way the clothes we wear. It's how we talk to one another. It's our language. It's it's conversion on all levels of living. And we see Paul gets that more and more, growing and growing and growing, where he can say, "I no longer live I, but Christ lives in me." And he says, "I bear the brand marks of Jesus." It was always a debate: was he stigmatist? That you have the stigmata there? And I believe we all have the stigmata by baptism, because we're grafted into the paschal mystery of Jesus Christ, and that's the indelible mark that Jesus lives within our hearts. I had a priest friend that said when he would meet someone, the first thing he did before even greeting the person would kind of like nod and bow to the person, to the indwelling presence of God in that person, and then he would greet the person himself. But how true that is, that the Lord lives in us. Or we wouldn't be able to do anything. He's the vine and I'm the branch. But that journey, Ken, that ongoing journey, that ongoing conversion, it's all a graceful journey. We fall down and we get up. We fall down and we get up. But the Lord is right behind us all the way. I'm just thinking of Randy Rafferty when he used to say that, when he would fall down, he would see Jesus pick him up, dust off his pants, and say, "Get going again, Frank." But yeah, it's in the falls that we learn so much that humble us. And when we get up, we come closer to Jesus, and we know him even more intimately in our heart. And we know he was always there with us, every step, every breath, every heartbeat along the way, until we come home with all the saints and angels, with all our loved ones in those verdant pastures, Ken, where our cups will be overflowing.
Yeah, it's, the trials and tribulations we experience in life, sometimes we may even, God forbid, go so far as maybe to not curse God, but wonder where he is in all these situations. And, when we look back over the course of our lives and look at those situations, we can see where God was there. You say it all the time. I think it's in reference to St. Catherine, perhaps, who had her struggles, and asked, "Jesus, where were you, in these struggles?" And Jesus lets her know, "If it weren't for me, you wouldn't have known you were struggling," or something to that effect. So, we but we need to take the time to look and to search. And, you know, it's one of the beauties of our 10th step or in the Catholic faith, those that may not have gone through a program, the examine prayer, where we, you know, review our day and look for those times where, you know, Jesus came into our lives. And you know, look for those times where we saw him and acted on it, or saw it and didn't act on it, the sins of omission and what have you. So, but we have to look, right?
Yeah, absolutely. You know. Ken, I'd just like to get this in before we run out of time.
Yep.
And it's about conversion. And Patrick did the reading today, and it was like, go to the street of straight. You know, you'll meet Paul there. And I was thinking of that straight street, you know, the directions to heaven. Go straight on straight street and turn right. Do the right things. Keep the commandments. Do what the Lord tells us. So the way to heaven directions, go straight and turn right. But here's a Stories for the Heart. It's by a Portia Nelson. And it's an autobiography in 5 short paragraphs. Paragraph 1, and this is conversion. I walk down the street. There's a deep hole in the sidewalk. I fall in. I am lost. I am helpless. It isn't my fault. It takes forever to find a way out. Paragraph 2. I walk down the street. There's a deep hole in the sidewalk. I pretend I don't see it. I fall in. I can't believe I'm in the same place. But it isn't my fault. It still takes a long time to get out. Paragraph 3. I walk down the street. There is a deep hole in the sidewalk. I see it is there. I still fall in. It's a habit. My eyes are open. I know where I am. It is my fault. I get out immediately. Paragraph 4. I walk down the street. There's a deep hole in the sidewalk. I walk around it. Paragraph 5. I walk down a different street. And that different street is the way, the only way, Jesus Christ is that different street, straight street, the way to heaven. Go straight on straight street and turn right.
Amen. And, you know, we used to always have a thing when I was doing my thing, you never go straight. And today it's just the opposite. Just try to stay straight on that narrow way. And do the best we can to stay there.
Yeah.
Yeah. So I got just about 2 minutes left, Father. If you any final thoughts?
You know, just that baptism again, Ken. You know that Jesus dwells within our hearts, and just that we treat one another, even non-Christians. You know, all of us. We're all God's children. I think of the Blessed Mother. You know. That she's the mother of all the living, not just the Catholics, not just the Christians, but all the living, the new Eve. And, you know, this comes to heart, Ken, what I was talking to you before our radio program about the chosen. And I always heard, you know, the Aramaic word for father was Abba, that Mark uses the Aramaic in the garden, that he has Jesus saying, Abba, take this cup from me, which is like, Daddy, take this cup from me. Don't let them hurt me. And I always knew a Jewish boy called his father Abba, but I didn't really pick up on what the Jewish boy called his mother. And that call is Ima, you know, is what Jesus called his mother, and the Jewish people would call their mothers, is Ima. And I was just thinking that our Blessed Mother, from the cross, Jesus said, behold your mother. To us all from baptism, you know, that's where we are. We're right at the cross in baptism. We're grafted there at the cross. And, you know, behold your mother, Douglas, Ken, Patrick, Maureen, behold your mother. And she's my mother. She's your mother. So now I want to call our Blessed Mother what Jesus called her, Ima. Pray for us, Ima.
Amen.
Pray for us.
All right. Got just enough time for a blessing, Father.
Father, Son, Holy Spirit. Amen. And Lord, bless us all through your Ima and our Ima, and keep us close to your Sacred Heart, Lord, and bless all those who suffer the most with addictions, and all the listeners and the elderly, and all of us, for we all belong to you. The Lord be with you.
And with your spirit.
May Almighty God bless you, the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
Amen. God bless everyone, Ken.
You too, Father. Thanks so much. For our listeners, don't go away. We'll be right back, and we got Peter DePalma on the line.